One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
Oh, hello.
And Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
I thought I'd mix things up because we're not sitting around a table. We've been resigned to our own houses and living abodes to make sure the hashtag content continues. So we're bringing you the What Culture Gaming Podcast from various places at once. And if we all talk over each other, it's because we're trying to record using a webcam style setup, which, I don't know, might overlap. I have no idea. At some point, they're going to want to talk, and I have to stop. And I don't even know when I'm going to do that. So I'm going to stop right now.
Stop now, and let's get straight into it. Is Doom 2020 the best game of the year yet?
Well, I think so. I mean, yeah, so basically, we're just going to go through all the big games that are out, because there's Doom Eternal, there's Assassin's Creed Odyssey for Josh, because he's losing himself in that. There's Animal Crossing New Horizons, and there's a demo for Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, or just Resident Evil 3, as they want to call it. So we'll get through all that stuff. But for Doom Eternal, I gave that game a 5 stars. Genuinely think it's a perfect game. The only thing I had as a negative was that I don't think the weapon wheel is as good as it could be on consoles. But even now, I can see Ben Roy scrunching his little face because he doesn't like the platforming in it.
Yeah, for me, it's just too much already. Like, I've got to... What do you call the snow bit? Is it like World 3 or some stuff?
Yeah,
like that?
It's the Erdak Fortress, I think.
I'm there. I've got sort of like the mid-air dash where I jump, dash, dash, and then get another globe in the air and dash, dash some more. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they want so much dashing in a game that's about ripping and tearing. But it's just too much for me. Like, sure, if you dash onto a climbable surface, Doomslayer grabs straight away. Mm-hmm. But if you don't double jump, then you've got to press R3, and there's almost already too much pressing the R3 in this game.
I've got to contest this, because for me, if you added up all the time you spend climbing and boosting, boosting between platforms, I only think it's like 5 minutes of the whole game.
Yeah,
I don't think it's that. For me, it wasn't that much.
So for me, it's been 74,000 years. And I've also, when you have to get that stupid ball in midair, yeah, but if you're like right next to it, like a millimeter, you don't have it, and you get into the lava and you're gone, mate, or you're in the Cold War and you're gone. And I don't know if I like that. I like shooting the demons, like dancing around them, and you're dead. But the jumping's a bit lame.
Well, I'm curious to see what the rest of the world thinks. Josh has got his copy of Doom, but it's installing as we speak. So we're going to do more of this stuff next week, because I know Rich has got his copy today with the big old Slayer helmet as well.
It's amazing, man, because all I've seen so far is the launch trailer for it. I've read your ups and downs, Scott.
Hell yeah.
I've just got Ben Roy's review, so it's an interesting and varied array of opinions there.
Don't get me wrong, it's an excellent shooter. Like, I've really enjoyed coming back into it, and it's weird because, like, I'm such a narrative-based gamer, and for there to be almost no narrative, of course, apart from, like, kill the demons, which is fine in Doom, it's weird to just be, like, a purely sort of mechanical experience with some decent music in there and appreciate the sounds as I literally rip these cacodemons in half.
One thing that I absolutely love is that you speak about the narrative. If you don't want it, it's not there. Like, I love that they make it totally optional. Like, you do find like codex pages and you can read all about the history of the Slayer himself and all these different beings that are trying to kill you and why they're trying to kill you. And I love that stuff. But I love how in the cutscenes, like, he just walks away, or like someone asks for his opinion and he just cocks a shotgun at them. It's just like if you want to just be like the faceless Slayer, you totally can be. But I do think there's a really, really great lore in there if you want it. It's just that it's totally optional. And you'll get to a scene that freaked me the hell out. I absolutely love one thing they've done. I'm sure it'll go viral when it eventually gets out there.
Question. When you fight the demons, because, you know, in this game, it shows you how to kill them quick, or at least disable part of them. Do you go straight for that every time? Like, do you shoot their guns and blow their guns out? Because I think, and do you fire the sort of grenade shot at the shotgun in the Kaka's mouth every time? Because I find myself falling into that routine.
Yeah, so they set you up with what, like, Hugo Martin's called, like, combat chess, where it's just sort of every enemy has a very specific way to take care of them. So if it's, like, one of those mini, like, arachnotrons, you want to shoot its head cannon thing off. Yeah. And then, yeah, Kaka demons will swallow a grenade, whether that's from your shoulder cannon or from the shotgun's mount. But for me, that, it does become part of your natural flow, but when you're still getting used to, like, how to stay alive in Doom, I thought that overthinking each individual enemy's weak spot just got in the way for me. So that was something that came in time. But yeah, they do give you like very specific ways to take them out. So over time, I kind of folded it into just the way I was playing. But initially it was just set everything on fire, shoot everything, get the armor pickups, glory kill this, blood punch that, just keep going, just keep on the move. Yeah. But yeah, I love that they like double down on that stuff. The idea of like, you know, like chainsaw kills give you health, give you ammo, glory kills give you health, all that kind of thing. Because I don't know if that was like something that you guys really liked about the 2016 one, like how sort of mathematical it is.
Yeah, like the way you move from enemy to enemy in that game and the flow of combat was by far the best thing about it for me, even though, you know, the weapons are punchy, the levels look great, the enemies are obviously well designed. That was the big difference between that and Wolfenstein, which tried a very similar old school sort of approach to first person shooting, but it didn't have that flow. You were way too weak in Wolfenstein, in my opinion, whereas in Doom, you could always get back into the fight, you could always be on the move, you weren't forced behind cover. Like, I always thought that was a bit incongruous in Wolfenstein when you had, you know, you were supposed to embrace old school mechanics and go balls to the wall with dual wielding shotguns or whatever. Mm. But at the same time, you were so fragile that if you tried that, you just get smashed.
I thought Wolfenstein did it like, because it was in Wolfie 2, I quite like that you're like really weak and near dying for the vast majority of it. And then once you get the suit upgrade, I thought that was when you felt like you could actually put up with more. Yeah. But 3/4 of that game, or like 2/3 of it, are just you getting killed in an instant. And I do think in Doom, if you mess up, you die immediately. Like, just so quickly.
There was one.
I think that's okay.
Oh, sorry, you, Brian.
Sorry, Ben. Right? No, go on. I was just going to say, I think that's okay in Doom because, like, it doesn't feel unfair. In Wolfie, it felt like the fun was being impeded by the way it was set up. Whereas in Doom, it's sort of, I imagine, at least going off the first game, more of a learning process. Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy being just sort of like ruined by the Nazis in the Wolfie 2 and Wolfie 1. In this Doom, I feel like you lose your health really quickly. Like, there's only been one combat situation which I've died a few times over and again. It's sort of like this little jump ramp section. I'm getting all these imps throwing their fireballs and these spider hive mind shooting me. And because anytime I see a spider hive mind or anything bigger than the little lads, I've got to take out their guns. I'm obsessed. I can't not go for them first.
The thing that I love that they give you is the flame belch, which is just, they give it a dedicated button. I love that they make it so the chainsaw isn't an equipable anymore. You just press X to do it. So like, you're always just keeping going. And like the flame belch, you douse a bunch of dudes with it. I just tend to rotate like a quarter circle and douse like 7 enemies. And then like, yeah, you shoot them. If anything's on fire, you get armor from it. So if you do that when you're in the zone kind of thing, you can just stay in the fray, detonate a bunch of explosives and jump back out again.
Yeah.
Like, you can do so much damage so fast. Like, that rush is the best thing.
For me at the moment, I think I'm just too, it's weird, like a completionist. I have to kill the big boys first, or at least wound them. Then I can start picking out all the little people and glory them as I go. But I felt this is a lot. I feel like my health's going so much so down so much faster in this. It's like glory, glory, hallelujah, shooting there, glory, glory, hallelujah, over and over again. So
I would recommend like picking off some of the fodder enemies, just in terms of like, you know, the chainsaw recharges so fast that like you can always keep getting more ammo, and like those big guys will get caught up in the explosions and everything anyway. But you'll get more like suit upgrades. You get like a thing that makes it so that your grenades burst into 5 more grenades and stuff like that. And like when you get the freeze grenade, you can just like even freeze everybody apart from the cyber demons. Like and even they, I think, freeze for a bit. But you can just, I found that just by charging headfirst into it, like just being as much upfront as possible, that was the best thing.
I have one question before I started tonight. What difficulty should I play it on? Because this is like the age old worry for me that I tried to do it on hard because I love the idea of combat chess, but at the same time, will that make it unenjoyable?
Just I was going to say, what did you play the 2016 one on?
I can't remember. I think it might have been hard, but I'm not sure.
I would do Hurt Me Plenty, which is the second one, not the very first one. I mean, it's second out of the 4 main ones. Then you get into the weird sort of like the super hard where you're dead forever, and then there's another one after that. So there's about 6 levels, isn't there? But on Hurt Me Plenty, I'm kind of having an okay time now, but now as they're ramping up, I can see it getting a bit more challenging. So
one thing I absolutely love is that in the difficulty selection thing, it tells you how much you're going to die.
Yeah.
Like in Hurt Me Plenty, it's like, look, you're going to die a bunch up front until you get used to this. But like, yeah, it's like a weather forecast. It's like, oh, you know, but it'll get milder as you go. Like, don't worry about it. And that was 100% my case. Like, I thought that it threw so much at you. There's so many tutorial prompts and things to read and mechanics to take in that opening, like a half hour or 45 minutes, that like I did die on what sounds like the exact same bit that killed Benroy quite a lot. Because that's the first time you really get bottlenecked into like a bunch of imps, one of the arachnotron things, and like, yeah, it's a lot at once. So I was doing it for the review, I was doing it on Hurt Me Plenty, and I died quite a bit. It was exactly like they said though. I died a bunch, I got used to it, and then I was smoother sailing for the rest of it. The marauders absolutely suck, but you'll have time to get to them, and then even then you eventually get used to them. But now that I'm replaying it, I'm doing it on Nightmare, which is the second highest one, and then I forget what you call the top one, like Ultraviolence or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's for me, Nightmare's pretty spot on for where I sort of like, I want to have fun, I want to be escapist and kill everything, but I do want the challenge as well.
For me, early review, I think it's a solid game, but just a bit too much platforming for me. And those snake guys, oh, just leave me alone.
Oh mate, those snake boys are they're nothing compared to the Marauder.
Great.
His weak spot is based on proximity. So if you're too close, he'll use a shotgun. If you're too far, he'll throw energy beams at you, and he unleashes a wolf on you as well. And if the wolf hits you, then your screen gets flashed with like teeth. Yeah. So the only way to kill him is to like dance around him, like circle strafe him at the exact right proximity, so that he opens up. And even then, if you don't get the timing right, he'll block everything and deflect it back at you again. The Marauders absolutely suck, to be honest, but you get used to them. And then when you kill them, it's the best feeling in the world.
Fair enough.
Because compared to like 2016's one, like I don't know what you guys thought they would do next. Like, what do you actually want from a Doom sequel? Was it like the story-based stuff or what?
Right, this has been my biggest question for the past 4 years, because loved Doom 2016, obviously. And every single thing I saw of Doom Eternal was just more Doom. And that's great, because Doom's awesome. But after 4 years, I don't know what I want. I don't know what's going to be able to blow me away. Is it just going to be more of the same but more refined? Is it going to be an epic twist in the story? Is it going to be the new monsters or levels? I don't know what killer app it's got that's going to make me just go like, wow, this is the best game of the year or whatever.
Mm-hmm. What if the answer was all three? What if it was
then
everything?
I'm still in Scotland.
The stuff that I didn't realize they were going to do was flesh out I opened the review by talking about the lore stuff, because I do think that is one of the most important things, that they find a way to codify all the old games and everything. So it's like all one big connected universe. And I kind of love that, even though Doom's not really about that. It's never been like MCU, you know, shared universe, here's an origin story kind of thing. But I thought that I didn't expect them to go there, and then they absolutely nailed it. I know there was a codex in the original one. Hugo Martin saying that in development, the build that they had was boring, that they were like playing it for a while. And then one day they were like, oh, it's not encouraging. He talked about it on Noclip, Danny O'Dwyer's Noclip. And he was like, oh, you know, we were playing this build and nothing was making us go back to it. He was like, we weren't coming back on the weekends. We weren't like feeling like we were addicted to it. And he was like, we had to be honest, like look at each other and be like, we've made something that's really boring. It is just too much of the same thing. And only after that did they start really messing with it. Because like Benroy, did you like? I know you're not a fan of the platforming, but like, how have you found the other changes, like the different button map and stuff with the chainsaw and like the general feel of it?
I keep forgetting the chainsaw's there sometimes, and then I look and I realize, oh my god, I've got nothing left and I'm dying. And then, oh, there's the chainsaw. I haven't found his grenade on his shoulder to be that effective as of yet. Like, I think maybe that's just good for the little lads, but like, I'm trying to use it on bigger
everything.
People. And I forget the name of the guy that chases you. He looks, the guy off the front cover of Doom 3, just the big demon that just runs after you and he's always trying to like ground pound.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
But yeah, like I'm trying to use it on them as well when nothing's really sort of like there. The flamethrower I've not really used effectively yet. I'm more just sticking to the shotgun and the energy beam gun at the moment, the sort of the energy beam machine gun sort of thing. And then using the second weapon you ever get, the cannon, to take out things from afar, like rocket turrets and stuff. I got the double barrel shotgun, and I used it, and I realized I would rather use the other shotgun, so I've just switched back to that straight away.
The thing that I think I found on the higher difficulties on 2016's one, which I totally think is the case here, is that like over time you need to use everything. Like they'll just have enemy types that'll punish you for not rotating through the whole like allotment of weapons. And like yeah, stuff like the shoulder cannon. Like yeah, at some point you're gonna need to be topping up your armor, and you'll need to be then thrown in like a grenade or a freeze grenade or whatever. Like it's just, and then even that double barrel shotgun, like if you're stuck like in amongst someone and you don't have a blood punch for like, you know, the close wave shockwave thing, that meat hook grapple hook thing, you can just fire that out at someone else and that'll pull you out. So yeah, pretty much everything matters eventually.
That would have been my main gripe, because before I got the blood punch, I was punching demons and it was barely doing anything.
It does,
like,
yeah, it does nothing.
I'm Doomslayer man, why am I not hurt? Why am I not caving in their face when I hit them?
They kind of like, they tone down the like standard melee so that you just it's like hitting them with like a feather. It's really nothing, because I was punching them and punching them waiting for them to open up for a glory kill, but you've got to like pepper them with like a basic shotgun hit or like a machine gun bullet or something, because they want you to use the blood punch. Like over time you unlock multiples of those things and it'll free up. But I remember in that bit that we talked about where we died a lot with that first spider thing, I realized that I just wasn't like jumping and dashing. I was like doing everything other than that, and I was like, okay, if I just introduced this other element of agility, I made it through straight away. And I was just kind of like, I remember that life lesson from like 2016 of like, if you're not using the full repertoire, then eventually you'll just get brought down.
I also think I want to go back to the sci-fi setting, so I hope that we go to some sort of like Mars base soon, because I'm playing that, and after watching 2005's Doom starring The Rock and Carl Urban earlier in the week, I really just want to be on that Mars base, and I really just want to, you know, be in Mars and in some sort of space setting, atmosphere of going to Earth and giant hell demons carrying hell castles around.
Yeah.
But when I've got to sort of like the more tree area, the green area, and then the snow area, I'm kind of like, yeah, that's all right for maybe 10 minutes, but get me to a space station or get me to hell.
Yeah, they do like a good balance. I mean, then when you eventually do something other than the world you've just described, I think they do it better than anyone ever has. Some of the imagery they use could be like a 1980s like thrash metal album cover.
Yeah.
Like it's just like full on, like it's like Brutal Legend. It was like the first time you saw like a hot rod exhaust was a mountain or something like that. But yeah, you get to go like to a bunch of different places. Do you guys know what they've done with the BFG in this one? Have you seen that anywhere?
Nope.
No.
Good, because I didn't know going in. And then I was like, well, he has it at the end of the 2016 one, so why isn't it here? And they don't necessarily address like that question, but as to what the BFG is in Eternal, when you see it, you'll freak out, I think.
That's class. That's a good time.
There's so many like lush reveals like that. But yeah, Benroy, did you have any other general thoughts on it? Are you dying to get back into it, or are you just like, oh my god, I hope there's not more platforming?
I'm looking forward to playing it tonight, but then I'm also looking forward to trying the Resident Evil 3 demo on PS4, because I play on Xbox One, but I'm looking forward to get to that again.
Yeah, so we might as well go into the Resident Evil 3 demo, because they put something out, and it reminds me of the very first time that they showed any footage of it at all, which I think was someone filming a screen or something, and it was like Jill Valentine coming out from underneath like a shutter and onto like a main street. So I think this is the demo from, I don't even know, the end of last year. I think when we first knew this was coming. But yeah, I mean, what do you got? Like, Josh, you're waiting to play it, but you've seen some footage of it. Benroy, you played through it, and as the world's biggest Resident Evil fan, what do you think?
Yes, I think it definitely is that demo, because we had the first teaser from PlayStation. What are they called? Their directs. We could call it directs, because you know,
Mr. PlayStation.
Yeah, and playing through this, I think, I don't know, it's just, it's, I really enjoyed going into the open world. I feel like, I say open world with quotes, but I liked going into the streets and feeling like I'm in a bigger world, because playing Resident Evil 3 Nemesis back on PS1, you still had like the camera angles that felt really constricted and everything like that, and you didn't really know what was around every corner. But now from the new perspective, going through, it's just seeing a bit down the street and then I'm having to go right down an alleyway. I'm also finding that it's, whereas it's more action-y and Jill seems to move more smoother and be able to dodge a bit more, that I am getting jumped up upon. Because as soon as I go around through alleyways, I'll be shooting things and I swear I've looked around and then Zombie McGee behind me, grabs me. And I was a few times jumping like, crap.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
It makes you think that that's a mechanic, because a couple of times when you're aiming, you're like, obviously the camera zooms in when you aim, you're focused forward, and then you just get grabbed from behind, and I'm like, I cleared out that alleyway. There's no way that anything was there, but it is really effective.
I think you could just go check behind every bin, because maybe every time I wasn't like scouring it.
Yeah.
I was sort of like getting really jumped on. But I also liked that I feel like there's so many more shops you can just go into the front bit and have a little look and get some supplies if you need them. It's like kind of like a risk reward, because I think it does spawn more zombies when you go in the shop. When you come out, there seems to be always like a big lad just there like, I want to eat your brains.
I
really want that red herb and I really want some bullets. And there was
What stood out for that was like the inventory management, because like, do you guys in Resident Evil 2, if you pick something up and your inventory is too full, you could swap it right there and then, right?
I don't think.
Yeah, I missed that Resident Evil 2, like if from what I remember anyway, it mostly got rid of like the briefcase style or even like the Resident Evil 2 original style of inventory management. For me, that's such a huge part of what makes survival horror survival
horror.
Oh, you
like that stuff?
I'm an absolute sucker for sorting that briefcase out in RE4, man, to make it as neat as possible so I can fit in a rocket launcher as well as a bunch of herbs.
He says this, and yet he doesn't like Tetris. He won't just sit and play some Tetris. But in that case, you'll love that they've brought back that stuff in 3, in as much as like you have, like, it's a bunch of like single slots, but you can't drop stuff when you pick something else up. You have to like cut out of it, drop the thing, interact with it again, slot it in. It's tiny, but I'm sure it would be smoother.
It's more impactful in this one because I feel like you're not in the police department or you're not in a set location. Mm-hmm. You're going through streets. So you don't, at the moment playing this, we didn't know when our next box was going to be. So that's why I was like, I might as well keep what I've got going now. And I kept this hose in my inventory for the duration of the demo because I don't know when I'm going to get back to that hose bit. And you get into this sort of safe area in the donut shop. Is it a donut shop? Is it in that game?
Yeah, I think so.
And I actually got lost because I didn't realize there was another door to go back through the street. Because I guess I never tried to go through that shop in the first place. And I quickly went up to the right and went through a couple of buildings. And there's also, I don't know if this is like streets and buildings in America, but there's just high metal rail bridge things all around buildings and alleyways. Is that a thing in America?
Like fire escapes everywhere.
I feel like it was more of an extended fire escape. Maybe it's just a fictional thing for Raccoon City. But
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, it kind of mixes up the gameplay a bit, but I did get lost, which I was surprised at.
See, there's a couple of times when like I kind of punched through a shop and came out the other side and then realized I was back in the street I was in before, and I was like, oh, this is all interconnected. Like, this is a much bigger play space, which like they're going to need because the way Nemesis works. See, the thing is, like, my thoughts on it, I thought I was like, okay, this is way more of RE2. Like, yeah, R1 is now the dodge button, but like the UI is the same, the aiming felt the same. Like, mostly in a good way, because that game was our game of the year. Yeah. But when Nemesis dropped in and he started walking towards me, it was the exact same feeling as in with Mr. X, where I was like, okay, I'm going to awkwardly shamble and rotate and rotate and shamble around you, I guess. Like, that was just kind of annoying for me.
See, I never had the biggest problem with Mr. X when I played it. Like, especially in the first area, just the station, I would just run somewhere, hide here, and then go again. With this, when I met Nemesis for the first time, my God, you seem to have I'll let you tell your story in a minute of how you dealt with him, but I saw him, I was like, ah! And I didn't ever switch to the shotgun because I might need the shotgun in a minute. Lo and behold, did I know the demo ended shortly after that. But I got done over by him. I tried to run, he whipped me back in there. I was like, crap. I turned around again. He then sort of like pounces in front of me and I had to like dodge around him as he's mutating zombies around me, which is the new weird feature. Where did you get attacked by any of these mutated zombies?
Well, so the weird thing is, he pops in, like he drops, he's already mutating someone when you come through one of the doors. And so then Jill's like, what's he doing to them? Or something like that. And then I went to run around him. He knocked me back. Then he tendrilled me and pulled me close and then didn't do anything. So I was just on the floor, like looking at him going like, well, this is kind of awkward. And then I stood up and ran around him. I ran away, turned around, grenaded him. The grenade took out some electric box thing, which electrocuted him. And then he went down and I just was like, okay. So I ran up to him with the knife and just jabbed him a little bit just for the lulz. And then I was like, okay, done. And I went and that was it. That was the demo.
I got off about 2 pistol shots at him. He looked at me like he was going to rip me in 2. So I was like, ha, no. And I just ran till I knew where the fire was, because I imagine if you didn't have the hose in your inventory then, I watched footage of other people play it, and he will then follow you throughout the entire of that demo. Mm-hmm. So he won't just wait in that area, he'll come back.
Oh, so I might do that. That's kind of a way to elongate the demo.
I'm really glad that I had the hose with me then. And I had the shotgun, and I never used it, because again, I was doing that stupid gamer brain thing where you save the shotgun.
You never know.
But I don't know, man. I feel like this is going to be great, and I'm hyped for it. But it's Nemesis being there, however long they sort of like restrict it and make it into some enclosed sections, it's going to frustrate a lot of people.
Pardon me, where do you guys both come down on Nemesis's new design? Because I don't think he's that scary, but I don't think the original one was either. I did when I was a kid, I was terrified of the original, but like now he's just this big, like meat headed super warrior.
For me, Nemesis has always kind of stood out because I was scared of his voice, obviously, like, you know, the stars and the footsteps and him showing up out of the blue. But I like his design, the leather-clad Matrix-style design, never really scared me. Even the movie, I was so scared of the Resident Evil 2 film, Apocalypse, but I was never scared of Nemesis. And I think they've done a pretty good job updating that. I think, like, the fleshiness of his design is better. It looks more like, you know, John Carpenter's The Thing or something like that. But there's something kind of like Mr. X's stupid, like, you know, trench coat. There's something inherently silly about it, but I appreciate that in the design. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's quite unique and good.
There's a way that they're kind of pivoting this one, which is very much like Halloween, where it's like, we know what the big bad is. It's not a mystery. It's like, here's your main character, here's your Laurie Strode, and here's Michael Myers, and like, you know, you're gonna go up against this thing multiple times. And like, obviously the trailer, like the demo ends with a trailer for this, and I'm sure the last line of the new trailer is her saying, "Let's do this," or something like that. And it's like I said, they kind of know that they've got this well, they would say it's an iconic duo of, like, you know, is it, I'm sure, yeah, Jill going up against Nemesis.
Yeah.
I just kind of want a bit more movement, I think, in the gameplay. I don't just, because basically, I hated in Resi 2, the only negative I had about that whole game was, like, if all you need to do is you have the crank to use on the specific place and you're in a room and Mr. X is there, all you can do is awkwardly kite him away from that space and then run back and hope he doesn't get there first. It seems like it's a whole game of that.
I would counter that by saying, you have to go to the other part of the station, lead him there, go then go downstairs and go around. And
that's what I mean, yeah.
Like, especially when I played that game on harder difficulties, I don't know about you two, but the whole left wing of the station, I basically left as a zombie-filled mess. So I failed to use that until I had to go through one of those doors, the spade doors or something like that, and that was horrible. But in that game, I kind of created a sort of safe zone where I could use, like, take him to the other side of the station, lose him there, and come back and get some sort of things like that. But
that I did that tactic, but that just, I got so sick of doing that. And then, like, I don't know how much Nemesis is going to be like that idea as a whole game. Like, Josh, where do you come down on the idea? Was Mr. X annoying, or did he work?
Well, for me, he like struck a pretty good balance, because, like Benroy said, especially in the prison section, like, a big chunk of the challenge was the environment. Like, I'd had the same, not problem that Benroy had, but my left wing was full of zombies. It was full of lickers. There was no getting through there unless I actually had to actively, you know, go in there for a story mission. But I had the right side of it, you know, nicely walled off. So that made a couple cool avenues for when Mr. X would appear. I'd think, right, I've sorted out this area. That's the safe zone. So I'm going to rush through there. I'm going to twirl back around. It happened. He appeared, like, often enough where I thought it was exciting and thrilling, but not too often where I just thought he was annoying. Like, I never got to the point where I thought, oh, Christ, just leave me alone because I need to do this mission. And I do worry that Nemesis might get to that point. Well, that's the scary thing. That would sort of ruin it a little bit for me. But I don't know how they're tackling these sort of open world elements. I don't know whether it's as dense as the police station or whether it's more freeform, because obviously I'm saving the actual experience until it comes out.
It is quite freeform, yeah.
It feels vastly, yeah, it feels a bit more spread out. And there's a comical, like in the original, there's a comical amount of, like, red barrels to use against either Nemesis or just the standard zombies. Mm-hmm. But, like, just being chased by this big guy in the bin bag, it's going to be terrifying, especially when he gets the flamethrower that we've seen in trailers and the rocket launcher. I don't know how, like, doing this game on the super hard is going to ruin me, but I'm going to somehow go push myself through it.
It's almost like, go on.
Sorry, I was going to say, but is this, like, is Resident Evil 3 going to be better than The Evil Within 2, which is the best survival horror game of all time, and did open world gameplay first, is all I'm saying.
I mean, you said Days Gone weirdly, but, you know, depends how much you've changed. That's the thing, like, for as much as Evil Within 2 doesn't get held up as, like, the next step in horror, I love those open world segments. If someone did a whole game of that, it would be, like, perfect. And maybe that's what they're doing here. Obviously, in the demo, you don't get much of a feel for potential set piece. You're not wandering into dynamic set pieces like you were in Evil Within. But, like, that idea of, like, anything could be around the next corner, like, that's obviously what they're trying to go for. Because even before Nemesis shows up, you're aware that he's there. You're aware that he's in that space with you somewhere. And then after that, I mean, the demo pretty much ends after Nemesis pops in, unless you do the thing that Benroy says. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where I am on it. I just thought it was a bit flat, but I hope there's more to it because I would like to like it.
I cannot wait for this. Like, I've been pretty timid because I sort of got regressed into the world that, oh, there's never going to be a new game again and just playing old stuff. And then we've had Doom now. So I'm sort of like cranking up the gears again for it. And playing that demo the other night really sort of like reminded me of, like, hey, Benroy, you really like Resident Evil.
As if you'd forgotten that for even a second.
You've written thousands of words on this. Maybe watch Apocalypse this weekend. Get yourself ready for Resident Evil 3, like you did with Doom.
If the real world apocalypse wasn't already coming on, then you can get lost in Resident Evil. Right then, so actually looking at the time, we're way closer to the end of the slot we've allocated ourselves in this delicate time to cover the games that we mentioned. So we talked about Assassin's Creed and Animal Crossing. I'll quickly say, because I'm the only one playing Animal Crossing at the minute, Josh Brown, you're downloading, and Ben Roy, you used to like Animal Crossing, or you played an old one.
I played on GameCube. So what the thing was is we had a GameCube in the house that was my sister's. She kind of abandoned it, so I claimed it and started playing Double Dash, Luigi's Mansion. And I had also had Assassin's Creed and Animal Crossing on it because she had it. And yeah, I played it back then. I've never felt the need to go back to Animal Crossing, so I'm going to sit this one out. I'm going to tap out this one.
The thing, because I've only played an hour because it came out at midnight last night, so I played the first hour. It's way more like survivalist, like in like a 101 kind of way. It's like, go get 10 like tree parts, go get 10 pieces of fruit, yeah. And like they want you to build, like from the beginning you're in like a campsite and you're building the village from the ground up, and you're hanging out with Tom Nook, and I love that stuff. The background music's like really slow acoustic guitar stuff, like it's just chill. And like for me, it's like the perfect accompaniment to Doom and Resident Evil and the general life that we're in at the minute. But yeah, I'm going to keep going with that. I mean, the thing is, we're going to mention Assassin's Creed because, Josh, you're playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey at the minute as your jump game.
I do just want to mention, though, you mentioned like Doom and Animal Crossing being the exact opposites. I'm having a little, like, obviously because we can't go out at the minute. I'm in tonight with my girlfriend. She's playing Animal Crossing and I'm playing Doom. And I like the idea of like having That's this great. Weird date where we're both playing the exact opposite games.
She's
having
Isabel and you're doing it.
I'm shaking my head here, but they can't see it, but I'm shaking my head. This is.
But yeah, man, like I've been living off Assassin's Creed Odyssey because I haven't played one of these games since Syndicate. That was the London one, right? The Victoria
yes,
one?
Yes, one in London, yeah.
Yeah, so I got Assassin's Creed Odyssey from you months ago, actually, and I've only just got around to playing it because I've had, you know, so much time indoors, and I thought, right, I can finally start it, expecting to play about 5 hours of it and put it down maybe. But it's genuinely got its grips in me, like... It's such a gorgeous game. I've been playing it with HDR on, which I'm fiddling about with. And it looks so like beautiful. Like the attention to detail, as always in an Assassin's Creed game, is there in walking and like, you know, riding around this open world Greece, this massive open world version of, you know, Greece is so good. And yeah, the gameplay is repetitive, but it's also very satisfying. Like I was fighting this stupid legendary ball last night and had the most fun I've had in ages. Like I was attacked by 40 to 50 feral hogs while I was going up against this thing, and it took me about 45 minutes to kill it, but I had a great time, and it made me wonder, do I even need Doom where I could just fight this big one over and over again?
Josh H. Brown, why? The thing is, you could have played Assassin's Creed Origins and you could have got all this out your system, because Odyssey is just DLC. It's just DLC for Origins. And it's good. It's good. It's a good game. But it's 200 hours long. And I remember when you were in this phase for Days Gone. And then the more that game kept going, the more you lost your mind. And now you can't even get any fresh air. So I don't know how it's going to go from here.
I think you might lose my mind.
Me, yeah. But Brian, you wasted all your time playing Red Dead 2 and Red Dead 1 again.
Well, right. No, I'm not. I'm having a good time. You know what? I think the people agree with me because I got a few tweets the other night of people going through Days Gone because it's a great content game. Mm-hmm. And all my friends list, because I think it's Assassin's Creed Odyssey is on sale on PSN. Like, everyone's playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey for some reason. And I totally don't get it.
Like, the games like that are just, I mean, Animal Crossing, you can't finish. Like, you know, you just build stuff and live. You live your little fairy life and you're done. And I think for Animal Crossing, for Assassin's Creed as well, something like Odyssey, like, is just content of the game, just hashtag content, you know, the universe, the connected platform. Because it's like, it is, I mean, I've put like 100-odd hours into it and I didn't achieve anything. Like, I mean, I just played. I just wallowed in the pools for a bit and then I came out and I don't remember.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that because it's great, great wallowing. And I don't want to do it like a disservice to say that, you know, it's just junk food, but it's really good junk food.
It
it's
is
like
totally though.
Creme de la creme junk food.
Top wallowing should be the pull quote that they take from us and put on some sort of box. What culture? Top wallowing. So yes, we'll end on a question from the hashtag WCGP tag over on Twitter, where you can leave questions and thoughts and bits and bobs. Let us know what junk food games you're playing whilst we're all on in lockdown. But a question from Grant, who says, after seeing both the Xbox Series X and the PS5 specs, which console do you think is going to be better and why?
Oh, I don't know, man. I need to see the games. Like,
well, that's not.
I can't judge. I know it's not, but like, I think if you go off the specs alone, it's got to be the Xbox because it's more powerful or whatever. Mm-hmm. And yes, the SSD on the PlayStation 5 sounds impressive, and all the developers and, you know, like places like Digital Foundry, who really know what they're talking about, they're hyping it up. But at the same time, until I know it, until I see it in action, I'm siding with Xbox, even though I will get the PlayStation first.
For me, reading about all the custom silicon, which is, I just like the term custom silicon that's apparently in the PS5, means that it might not be the most powerful horsepower-wise. I know nothing about tech, but it hasn't got the most flops. But apparently the way that it's been customized means that it's easier for devs to use and it'll automatically boost old games and stuff like that. And I like the idea that they've made this sort of like really sleek professional machine that'll just work, just do stuff. And I know that's what Xbox is going for as well. But I don't know. I mean, the PS2 was less powerful than the original Xbox and it was all about the games and the way that they were utilized. And some games didn't run better on Xbox. So it's like, I don't know. It's not necessarily all in the flops, but I'm going to go with PS5, actually, surprisingly. I just kind of have faith in little Karl Marx Cerny. He might be boring as hell, but I think he's nailed it.
I think this is the end of a tradition. I think we're finally going to break the big dog on the last gen is now going to fail, I think.
Mm.
Sure, Big Phil Spencer's coming in to make up for what Don Matrick did all those years ago, but I think the damage might be done here. And I know we said last time people are entrenched with their achievements and blah 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 and they'll never switch and everyone switched. I don't think it'll be as much of a battering as it has been this generation, but I think it'll be the edge I'm going to give to Sony, Mark Cerny, and whoever takes up the mantle there.
I am curious what they do for the actual PS5 reveal, not a weird dev talk thing, because if they deliver on that weird Castlevania Metal Gear rumor, if they just roll out some footage of God of War 2, Spider-Man 2, Horizon 2, and then show the system, like maybe that's what they're waiting for at this point. It's either the best game of 4D chess ever played, or they have no idea what the hell they're doing. Yeah. And I want to hope that they actually have something ready to drop in like a couple of months' time.
The big question is, though, are you both going to send images of your ears to Mark Cerny so he can make that special sound system for you?
Now, I turned that show off because it was just too boring. What the hell is this ear crack? Does he just want to see people's ears?
Well, they're developing this sort of system so everyone can have 3D sound regardless of what kind of sound system they have. But to achieve that, they have to like graph the inside of your ear. So he said, so at the end of the presentation, he was like, "Who knows? Maybe soon you'll be sending us images of your ear."
Someone will have sent them an ear in an envelope and just been like, "Please send me a free PS5." But yeah, I guess we all have faith in the future of the systems. I'm assuming that we'll see something by the end of the year, providing that now that China's sort of recovered and stuff, assumedly their factories will be getting back to normal. But yeah, for now, this has been the World Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Yes, goodbye.
And Josh Brown.
Goodbye.
I'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.